I'm Alan Lytle, 91.3 WUKY News. Multiple sclerosis, or MS, affects millions of Americans each year. And while researchers report making inroads in treating the disease, a UK neurologist is concerned that there's been an underrepresentation of African-American patients in ongoing MS clinical trials, so much so that he recently penned an op-ed on the subject. You'll hear from him in this week's edition of Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine. Dr. Jay Avasarala is a neurologist with UK Healthcare. He spoke to Dr. Greg about the general lack of minorities and underrepresented communities in Phase 3 clinical trials, in particular when it comes to MS research.
So a few years ago, I was looking at data from clinical trials in multiple sclerosis and African-Americans and Caucasians as two separate cohorts. And it struck me as odd that the representation of African-Americans in clinical trials was decreasing instead of at least staying flat or maybe even increasing. And that kind of was odd in my books. And I said, I need to dig into this a little more, and that's how I got started.
Mm-hmm. And so we're looking at populations that traditionally have been underrepresented then in clinical trials, and it may be, for lack of a better way of putting it, it may be getting worse at this point?
Right. So I took the numbers from what, you know, the Phase 3 clinical trials said. I mean, these are published data. So to give you an example, if I'm remembering this correctly, over a 9 or 10 year period, it had dropped from 11%, recruitment of African Americans into clinical trials down to 2% as the years progressed. I think the time interval that I'm talking about is probably in the late 90s up into, you know, the 2000 and either 12 or 9, I can't remember exactly, but I could tell you the numbers. But that's how it panned out. Mm-hmm. So it dropped.
And in one of your particular areas of clinical study and concern, multiple sclerosis, we've known for some time that that disease can manifest itself differently in African-American populations or Asian populations or Caucasian populations.
That's correct.
So this becomes an important issue to make sure we're recruiting enough individuals.
That's very correct. And in fact, it's not just different. The disease is aggressive in African Americans. So here is a model that is distinctly different, and it's been shown in multiple studies across the world, especially in North America, for example, and African Americans do not do well. The disease is aggressive at its, you know, presentation, and the MRI data is overwhelmingly there to suggest that the disease is very heavily, laden with lesions, you know, even at the time of inception. So, of the diagnosis. So, yes, this has been shown to be the case. And so that's a concern for that reason.
Are there constructive things that clinical trials researchers are doing in order to attempt to go out and recruit more persons of color, people from non-Caucasian populations?
So that's a gray area because there's not a whole lot of description of what is going on behind the scenes, and it's very hard to find what these recruiting patterns are and how they are recruited. You know, typically a Phase 3 trial would include different subgroups of populations, demographics, but then hardly you would find a statement saying that this is the way we, you know, did our business. So I think it's very hard to put two and two together because we don't have knowledge about what goes on. So
I know some researchers at UK, such as Dr. Nancy Schoenberg, have approached faith communities in order for that to be a way perhaps to let parishioners and other people know about medical opportunities. Perhaps that could be one of the things that's done to try to recruit more volunteers.
Absolutely. I mean, anything mm-hmm. that helps mm-hmm. would be a step in the right direction. Mm-hmm. I think the community, I mean, the African-American community also has to realize that's in their own interest mm-hmm. to submit themselves if they have a specific disease. Mm-hmm. Now, this is multiple sclerosis. There could be other diseases that this is going on. And it's up to each individual group to kind of come to this conclusion and say, hey, everyone else is trying to get themselves recruited, and if we get to the table, mm-hmm. maybe we would be eligible, and, you know, maybe it would benefit, you know, the person down the, you know, line, you know, it may not benefit them. Mm-hmm. But absolutely, that has to be also part of the equation, I think. It has to be multifaceted, like anything else. Companies have to go after them, and like you said, faith-based organizations is mm-hmm. one approach, and then the patients themselves trying to volunteer, and a mm-hmm. little more of volunteer effort would go a long way.
And I know you and I touched on this when we talked on the phone yesterday, but in some populations there has been sort of a long-term mistrust or unease with clinical trials. Do you think researchers are doing a better job of explaining to different communities that this is in their own best interest?
Again, like I said, it's hard to know what is going on behind the scenes. There probably are. Mm-hmm. It's hard to say whether it's having an effect, mm-hmm. but the end result seems to be that the numbers don't, you know, add up. And mm-hmm. I think that's, in the long term, it's bad for the community itself, mm-hmm. you know, in how the drugs work or do not work and what the results show.
And one of the things you've exhorted your research community to do is to make sure to document what population that they're using for these particular studies, that knowledge has to be transparent.
Right. It has to be absolutely transparent. I totally, you know, advocate for that, because mm-hmm. otherwise, as a clinician trying to take care of a patient, I would have little data to go by. And we're not looking at post-marketing data. We are looking at, phase three clinical trials, which are the crux of, you know, today's discussion. And so that's what I, you know, honestly want mm-hmm. to, I guess, that would be ideal, yeah.
Is there anything we've not touched upon that you would want our listeners to know about?
I think publications, when top-flight journals publish data, there has to be a footnote. Maybe there has to be some sort of a disclaimer type of a statement where the researchers themselves come clean, if you will. Although a lot of times drug companies do the funding and so on and so forth for the research, which is okay. But I think there has to be some statement saying that this is what we have and these are the raw numbers, and, you know, we don't have data or we do have data. And mm-hmm. they have to be a little more upfront, and that gives the reader a chance to kind of weigh in on each of those aspects of what is the best option for, you know, their patients mm-hmm. when they read this type of an article.
My thanks today to Dr. Jay Avasarala, UK neurologist, for talking with me about the lack of minority representation in multiple sclerosis drug trials and what we can be doing to more adequately represent our patient populations. For more information, visit our website at wuky.org. With health news you can use, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine.
Dr. Greg Davis is a forensic pathologist at the University of Kentucky who volunteers his time to cover important medical news for our community. This program is available as a podcast at wuky.org. And for information on becoming an underwriter, contact Gail Bennett at 257-7049.